There is a collection of Shadas and Shuvas by Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland, passed away a long time ago. And in the beginning of the first volume, he has a few pages where he has Haskamas. So one of the Haskamas is a non-Haskama. He asked Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer to give him a Haskama. So he writes a letter. Rav Yisrael Zalman writes, when I used to be a rabbi in Slutsk, so I had a Paskin Shailas Halacha L'maisa, but now I'm retired from the rabbinate. He was already a Rosh Yeshiva in Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. He's not in the field of Paskin Shailas anymore, so therefore he can't give a Haskama on a Sefer Shailas HaTshuvas because it's not his field anymore. Sounds a little humorous. It means they didn't like his Shailas HaTshuvas, didn't like it. The Galatiana style of Tshuvas, not the way Rabbi Zalman would analyze Shailas. So he says, but regarding one Tshuva, I want you to know that I don't agree. Say, this Rabbi Breisch has a Tshuva about the permissibility of turning on lights on Yontif. When they first came out originally with electric lights, and many Rabbanim were of the opinion that it's permissible to turn on electric bulbs on Yontif. So Rabbi Breisch has such a Tshuva lahokel. So Rabbi Zalman says he doesn't agree, because the whole tshuva of the Chelkas Yaakov is based on the Maharsham. Maharsham lived at the beginning of the 1900s. He was a Rav in Berzhan. So the Maharsham developed an idea that turning on lights on Shabbos can't be an Issa Deraisa to begin with. It can only be an Issa Derabbana, because electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan. Malachas are determined by whatever was in the Mishkan. The Gemara has in the first daf in Bava Kama, whatever activities were important in constructing the Mishkan are considered Ovis Malachas. Whatever activities are similar to those are considered Toldas. So the Marsham says that electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so it can't be even a Tolda. Whatever existed in the days of Mishkan but wasn't in the Mishkan, but it's similar to what was in the Mishkan, that'll be an Avara Tolda. Whatever didn't even exist in the days of the Mishkan, maximum can only be an Issa Derabbanan. The Shita Mekubetzes has such an idea on the first daf in Bava Kama. Shita Mekubetzes raises the question, how come when we're interested in establishing that the Malachas on Shabbos have told us, so we need a pasuk in Shabbos Dafayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara needs a pasuk. Meachas Mehena. So we darshan from a pasuk that toldos are also prohibited, and the toldos of nizikin are bavus nizikin, yugimel bavus nizikin, chavdal bavus nizikin. The Gemara says toldos and kriyatzman. You don't need a pasuk. You just say it's a mamatzinum. Just like Karen is meshuna, so it's chayiv. So anything that's meshuna is also chayiv. You don't need a pasuk. Why? So he says, in Kala Terakula, you always darshan and mamatzino. You don't need any ribuyim. Only Shabbos is the exception to the rule. You require a pasuk, because by Shabbos, everything depends on what was in the Mishkan. So since the Toldos went down in the Mishkan, you can't just say on your own that Toldosem Kayetzebeh. So that's why I need Xeris HaKasuk. So the Masham goes along the lines of that Shitim Kubetz. That's on the first daf in Bava Kama. And he goes one step further. So he says that since electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so it can't be an Issa Deraisa. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer writes in his Non Haskama for the Sefer that you should know the Rab Chaim Moshe Paskin against that Masham, and we don't accept the Masham. We accept Rab Chaim Moshe. B'chaim Moshe Hel, turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos constitutes a malacha derais. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered when he would sometimes visit Rav Chaim Moshe in Vilna, that Rav Chaim Moshe would want to demonstrate to the public that he's so convinced. That was the big machlekes at that time, with turning on electric bulbs are derais of the Rabbanon. Rav Chaim Moshe would want to emphasize that it's a malacha derais, so he would recite Bar Mi'ar Ho'esh in Havdola Dafka on an electric bulb. He wouldn't want to use a flame to demonstrate the electric bulb is the same ash as a fire mamish. The Rambam in two places speaks about heating metal till it glows. In one place the Rambam says that it's Havara, it's a violation of Mavir. Another place the Rambam says it's a violation of Mavashel. So that's a discussion in the Nesek Kelim. When does the Rambam think that it's Mavashel? And when is it Havara? He never says that it's both. In certain cases he calls it Mavashel, certain cases he calls it Havor. Years ago, Rabbi Goren, before he became a chief rabbi, published an essay. He started to publish it in installments, and there was such a negative reaction to the first installment, so he never printed the rest, about the permissibility of turning on electric bulbs on Shabbos, that it shouldn't be so chama. So he argued that if you follow that Rambam, that it's a malocha of Mevashel, that's a question, when does the Rambam mean it's Mevashel, when is it Havar? So he wrote, if you follow the Rambam, says that it's Mevashel, only have a klal in the Gemara, and Bishel Achadishel, so if you have an electric bulb that he once turned on, so he once were Mevashel, this filament. So if you turn it on a second time, it can't be an Issa Deraisa. That's how he started. So there was such negative reaction to that, so he never printed the rest of it. The reason why there was negative reaction, because we have a classic sefer on the Lamates of his Malachas that's called Egle Tal, authored by the Chassidish Rebbe, the Avni Nezer, Sachchava Rebbe. He doesn't cover all the Lamates of his Malachas. He planned to do on all of them, but he only completed the first 11, Ofen, and another one or two. And then the beginnings of the rest of the Malachas are in the Avdei Nezer. He has sections in the Tshuvas. He has the beginnings of the work that he did on the other Malachas. So Malachas Ofer, he quotes this Rambam, that when you heat metal till it glows, it's a violation of Bishul. And he says, but the Rambam never said, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul by metal. I didn't know that the metal was never heated before. So he comes up with the explanation that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul only applies to food. If you have raw potatoes and you cooked it, if you have raw meat and you cooked it, so it's not raw anymore. So it's cooked. So then if you're going to reheat it, so you're not cooking the potatoes, you're not cooking the meat, you're reheating it. So that's Bishul Sheni. But if you heat metal till it glows and then you extinguish and then you stop and then you heat it again, so the whole effect of the first heating is gone already. So you can't say Ein Bishul Acha Bishul in such a situation. It's not called the Bishul Sheni, it's called the Bishul Rishon. So the Egle Tal wants to say this when you get to cooking water. He says, if you cooked water on Erev Shabbos and then you move the kettle, you have a big blech and the kettle is on the side of the blech and the water is now below Yad Soledes, then you push the kettle of water back on top of the burner that's on, so you make it again Yad Soledes. He suggests that by water everybody should agree that Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes whether by Dova Lach Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. So he suggests that's only by soup, because when you take you take water and take raw vegetables, you cook it all together, you make it into soup. Once the soup is soup, it doesn't, when you put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't become back raw vegetables and cold water. It's cold soup. You can drink the cold soup the way it is also, it'll taste good. It tastes much better when it's hot. So when you reheat the soup, that's a deal. Whether Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul min HaTorah min HaRabbanan, we have chumris over there. But he says, on plain old water, if you heat water, then you put it in the refrigerator, the whole effect of the heating is undone. You're back where you started again. Nothing changed. So he thinks that the heating, just plain water, should be exactly the same as heating metal. Then nobody holds that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. But he says the Minhag Olam is not so. So that he writes in his sefer, Ayin B'Hashmatos. So in the end of the sefer, he tries to defend the Minhag Olam. Everybody does like that. You have a big blech, so when you want to have the soup, so you have the soup on top of the burner, and the kettle with the coal, with the water is on the side. It's above room temperature, but it's on the side. Then when you want to have a cup of hot tea, so you put the kettle back on top of the burner that's on. So Imam is doing Bishul Acha Bishul B'mayim. If you're going to Egle Tal, should be an Issa Deraisa. So what's the hetter? So in the end of the sefer, the last two pages, he tries to defend the Minhag Olam. But initially in the sefer, he thought that that should be, water should be exactly the same as metal, that the Rambam seems to assume that for sure there's Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. So that's why Rabbi Gorin's suggestion was never accepted. If a person has an electric machine, which he uses to plow the earth, or uses to harvest, or he uses to plant, so he's doing malachas chorish, zareya, kotzer, whatever, dosh, by pushing a button. So that will certainly be an isa deraisa. You're doing charishas, zariya, ktsira, whatever, you're doing the malacha by harnessing this natural force of electricity. So that's based on the Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara says, zore veruach misayato. If a person harnesses the natural force of the wind which is blowing to accomplish a malacha, so that constitutes a malacha deraisa. The Gemara says, how come a nezikin is not exactly the same? Eish would not always be chayiv in such a case. So the Gemara says, Hilchos Shabbos are different because malachas machshavas asur Torah. We're usually used to using that expression, malachas machshavas asur Torah. Usually the Gemara has lehokil. Then Hilchos Shabbos, Yemekel, Dabashenim Iskavin, is mutter menatorah lecholadeis, and Mekalkal is mutter menatorah, and so on. You have a lot of kulas. Hilchos Shabbos, usually the kulas, are based on the term Malachas Machshavas Asur Torah. And here the Gemara uses Malachas Machshavas Asur Torah lechumre, that Zor V'ruchnes Hayaita will be an Issa Deraisa.
So Zor
V'ruach
is using the natural force. You specifically said natural force, but the machine is not. Do you care?
No, the machine is using electrical energy.
Right.
So whenever you use some other force to help you to do a malacha.
Okay, so the fact that it's natural doesn't actually matter. It's using some other mechanism. Do it.
Right. The question is, what if I use, let's say, an animal? to plow the ground, I have an animal pulling a plow, and I'm pushing the plow down. So me with the animal together, by my pushing, I can push from today till next week. If the animal doesn't pull, it's not going to do anything. And the animal alone can pull, but if I'm not pushing, then it's not going to be accomplished. So that's not called Shnayim Shasu. There, the Rambam says in such a case, I'm chayiv. So that's a discussion in the Afikayam. Afikayam was written before, in between the First World War, Second World War. He was friendly with Rab Chaim Soloveitchik and all of those Gedolim from that area of the world. So he has a discussion in Rishayim about this. When do you say that when you have an animal helping you do the malacha, that's also considered harnessing some natural force to help you do a malacha and you're chayiv ben haTorah? And when do you not apply that? Or let's say you have a Jew and a non-Jew. If you have two Jews doing a malacha together, that's called Shnayim Shasu. The Shnayim Shasu is at least Potter and probably Mutter min haTorah. The Holy Issue is only with the Rabbanan. But if the Shnayim Shasu is going to be, one is going to be a Jew, one is going to be a non-Jew, so the non-Jew is not Muzer on Shabbos, and the Meiri writes that that's not called Shnayim Shasu. That's like using a behemoth to help you do the malacha, and then it'll be an Issa Deraisa. So that's a discussion, how far do you go over there? Because the behemoth is a balchai doing an activity, but if you're using the wind or you're using electrical energy, so that everyone would agree that that would constitute a malacha deraisa. Regarding turning on the original shaila that the Chelkas Yaakov spoke about, turning on the electrical bulbs on Yontif, so there is a Mishnah in Maseches Beitzel where it says that you're not allowed to be moilereish mechadosh on Yontif, you're not allowed to strike a match on Yontif. So the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva about this. This Ksav Sofer is quoted by the Mishnah Brura. I don't know Ksav Sofer. Mishnah Brura in Siman Tov Kuf Beis tells you to look in the Ksav Sofer, but he doesn't tell you what he said. So the Ksav Sofer has two parts. Number one, the Taz in Siman Tov Kuf Beis in Hilchos Yontif suggests that Moel Eresh Mechorosh should constitute an Issa Deraisa on Yontif based on the line in the Rambam. So the Ksav Sofer with Rov Achreinim disagree with the Taz. And that's what's generally assumed, that Moel Eresh Mechorosh is not an Issa Deraisa, it's only an Issa Derabban. So let's say we are generally Mekel if you have a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. Let's say on Yontif the lights are off, you're going to have to sit and eat in a dark room. So you would certainly enjoy eating the meal better if the lights would be on, but we assume you're not allowed to turn on the lights. Would it be permissible to ask a non-Jew to turn on the lights? So that would probably we would assume that would be a shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah. To ask a non-Jew is only Amir l'Nachri is only the Rabbanon, and certainly makam mitzvah to enjoy eating the food better. And turning on lights on Yontif, we assume, is only an Issa d'Rabbanon. We follow the Ksav Sofer and Rav Achreinim who hold that Moel Eresh Mechodesh is not an Issa d'Reis. The second issue that the Ksav Sofer discusses there, that was the big argument when they first came out with the electric bulbs, is what's called Moel Eresh Mechodesh. Let's say you have a match. You don't have to strike the match to create a flame. I take the match and I put it, let's say I have coals that are very hot. So if the coals are orange, they're red, that's an Eish. So there is already an Eish. So when I put the tip of the match to the flame or to the red coals, that Moel Eresh Mechodesh, I'm lighting one Eish from another Eish. What if I have coals that are black? They're very, very hot, but they're black. They're not orange and they're not red. So there is no esh. It's hot. And when I put the tip of the match there, it'll burst into a flame without striking the matches. That's called moiler esh mechadosh, because there is no esh there. Or no, I didn't strike the match. So that's considered like lighting the flame from an already existing something. There is heat there. You're lighting the match from something that exists, but it's not a flame. So the Ksav Sofer writes L'chumr. He thinks that that's awesome. That's what the Ar HaShulchan is famous for that. He says he remembered as a child that many people would be matar that. They would take the tip of the match and put it on the coals that were black. And it was assumed that that's not Moiler Esh Mechadosh. So therefore he thought that turning on the electrical lights on Yontav, the Ar HaShulchan originally thought that should not be an Isser of Moiler Esh Mechadosh. When they first came out with the electric bulbs, so there were a lot of Rabbanim who thought that it should be mutter to turn them on Yontav. And then as the years went by, most changed their mind and most assumed that it is also, that it is considered Moiler Esh Mechadosh. One of the klalim in Melechus Shabbos is, it's a question whether Taka Klal and all the Lamentas of his Melechus are only in some. The Gemara Shabbos Kufchot HaMebeis has a Machlekes HaTanaim regarding Gram Kibui. What's the definition? What's called Gram Kibui? So the Gemara has a situation. There's a fire and the whole house is going to burn down. So the fellow takes containers of water and he puts them near the fire. So when the fire is going to hit the container, these are earthenware containers of water. When the fire is going to hit it, it won't be able to resist the heat. So the container is going to crack and then the water will spill out and it will extinguish the flame. So the Gemara considers that a situation of Gram Kibui. So that's a machlokes satanan, where the Gram Kibui is mutter or aser, and we pass on the Gram Kibui is mutter. The question is, what does that mean, Gram Kibui is mutter? So that's a further machlokes Tosfos on the Mordechai on the Daf, over there, on Daf Kufchav, and really in the end of Perek Kira, the end of the third Perek on Masech Shabbos. So Tosfos' opinion is Gram Kibui is mutter, period. Mutter is mutter. And the Ramah Paskins like the Mordechai against us is the Gram Kibui is Mutter min HaTorah Osem mid the Rabbanan, and the Mishnah only says Mutter the Makom Dleika. If the whole house is burning down, it's going to be a Hefsed Merubah. So then we will revert back to the Din D'Oraisa. We will permit you to follow the Din D'Oraisa, namely the Gram Kibui is Mutter. But Shalom Makom Dleika, we would not be Makom. And then the Paskins say, Hu Adinami B'Makom Mitzvah B'Makom Chayli. But Shalom HaMakom Chodesh, Shalom HaMakom Mitzvah, we would not be Mekel on Gram Kibui. There is a Tosis in Beitza where Tosis writes that Gram Kibui is Mutter on Yontif. So the Magen Avraham is bothered with a Kasha. How can Tosis say Gram Kibui is Mutter on Yontif, but there's no Makom Dleika, there's no Hefsed Merubah, why should it be Mutter? So the Magen Avraham came up with a fantastic idea that Tosis meant to distinguish between Shabbos and Yontav, that only on Shabbos do we adopt this chumrah. The Gram Kibui is awesome at the Rabbanon, unless it's Makom Dleika, Hefsed Merubah, Makom Mitzvah, Makom Chayli. But on Yontav you don't have that chumrah. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha l'maisa, and Rav Chacham Avadya goes along with this. He doesn't always go along with the Ashkenazi chidushin, but this Mishnah Berurah b'shem Magen Avraham goes along. So the Chazon Ish writes it's a pella. The whole Magen Avraham is a pella. What was the whole kasha in the first place? Tosef Shita Masechah Shabbos is the Gram Kibui is Mutter on Shabbos also. So there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. What is he quoting a Tosef out of context? The Ramah was Machma like the Mordechai. The Gram Kibui is also with the Rabbanon, unless Mamakom Dleika. So the Tosef in Beitza corresponds with what Tosef wrote in Shabbos. They hold Gram Kibui is Mutter on Shabbos also. But Itan Chazon Ish says there's no Mokka to distinguish at all between Gram Kibui b'Shabbos, Gram Kibui b'Yontif. That's his title. The Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Aloche, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mishnah from Daf Kufchav about Gram Kibui, that it's Mutter b'Makom Dleika, and the Ramah has the Chumrah only b'Makom Dleika, Shelo b'Makom Dleika would not be Mutter. So the Bir Aloche quotes a Sofik from the Shulti Gibarim. Shulti Gibarim is printed on the side of the Rif. He has a Sofik, does this apply to all Lamentas of his Malachas, or perhaps we should distinguish between the various Malachas? Why should I distinguish? Manishtana Kibui from the other Malachas. It means he's trying to say, the Ragachava has this in one of his collection of letters that's called Shadis and Chuvis. Safnas Panach is not really Shadis and Chuvis. The Bochum in Europe always used to send the Ragachava Kashis. They didn't ask him any shilas. They asked him kashas and gemaras. So he used to answer on postcards all the time. So his daughter printed this collection that's called Shilas and Shuvahs of the Tzofnas Panel. So the Ragan Shava distinguishes when is grama awesome in our Torah, when is grama mutter. The Gemara there talks about gram malacha on Shabbos is mutter in our Torah, and gram sirus is awesome. There's an avera, b'yatzachem lo isasu, you're not allowed to cause an animal to become castrated. So what if you only do it ayde grama? Would that be awesome? Would that be mutter? So the Gemara has a discussion about this. So the Ragan Shava explains, what does it depend on? What's the nekudas adiyun? So he says the diun is what's the nature of the issa. Sometimes you have an issa pu'ula, sometimes you have an issa chaloi. Sometimes the Torah says you're not allowed to do this activity. So if I did it, I did gromus, I didn't do it. And sometimes the Torah says don't bring about this and this result. So even if you did it, I did gromus, but bottom line, you brought about that result. So that's apparently. So the Ragan Shava talks about the different issurim. Maybe by sirus the issur is ba'at chamaloi sasu. You're not allowed to cause that to come about. And Shabbos is not an Isser Chepze. It's an Isser. The Gavra shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. Don't do a Malach on Shabbos. So if I do a day Gromus, I didn't do the Malach. So if you should say like that, like the Ragan Shava Svar, it depends whether you're dealing with an Isser Pu'ula or an Isser Chaloi. So it could be that this is the Sofek of the Shilti Giborim. Are all Alamatas Ofis Malachas in the same category? Maybe I should divide. Maybe some of them are Isser Pu'ula and some of them are Issa Chaloi. So those of them that are Issa Pula will be similar to Mechabe, that Gram Kibui is Mutter Benatar, it's only Osama the Rabbanon, and so on. And those of them which are in Issa Chaloi, will Grama will be an Issa Deraisa. That's what he raises, the Shilti Gibbon raises such a possibility, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Aloha quotes it. There is an Ar Sameach on Hilchas Shabbos, where he also raises such a possibility that you should distinguish between the various malachas on Shabbos. Some should be an Issa Pu'ula, some should be an Issa Chalos, vis-a-vis a different issue, the issue of Marbe Bishiurim. There is a famous Ran on the Rif, has a machlokes with the Rashba in Beitz on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph regarding Marbe Bishiurim on Shabbos, whether it's an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanan. Marbe Bishiurim means like this: Avichol she'esh b'sakana, who needs some hot water. So there are no nachrim to ask. I take a kettle of water, I put it up, and I cook it on the fire. And I'm also interested. I'm not sick, I'm healthy. I'm interested in having a hot cup of coffee, hot cup of tea. So instead of only putting a half a kettle for the chayla, I'll put a whole kettle of water. But I'm going to fill up the kettle by the faucet and put the kettle on the fire, the vasachas. Not that I'm going to put a half a kettle on the fire, then pour in another couple of cups of water. I'll fill up the whole kettle and put it on. That's called marbe bishur. If I take a half a kettle and put it on one burner, take another half a kettle and put it on the other burner, the first half a kettle is for the chayla she'esh b'sakana, and the second half a kettle is for me to drink a cup of tea. So that's marbe b'malachas. I did a malacha for myself. I didn't do that for the chayla. Or if I put the half full kettle on the fire, and then I pour another couple of cups of water in after I already put it on the fire, that's by the marbe b'malachas. The second malacha was done for me, wasn't done for the chayla. But if I fill up the whole kettle in advance of putting it on the fire, when I put it on, it's b'vasachas. And I have a heter for part of it, because it's a chayla she'esh b'sakana. So would you say that marbe b'shiurim on Shabbos, the Gemara said b'feirish in Menachos, that it's an Issa, Perek Rabishma. So this machlokes, and the Havamina of the Gemara clearly was that it's an Issa deraisa. The Gemara and the Havamina clearly thought that it's an Issa deraisa. The question is, once you get to the maskana, is it still assumed to be an Issa deraisa? Is it only an Issa derabon? So that's machlokes, the Rashba and the Ran. So the Ar Sameach has a comment. He thinks it depends which malacha. He thinks that sometimes marbe bishurim will be an Issa deraisa, sometimes marbe bishurim will be an Issa derabon. It depends. Some malachas are rasa because it's an Issa pu'ula. So you're doing one pu'ula, so the one pu'ula has a heter. So you can do barbe b'shurim, there's no problem in our Torah. But if it's an Issa chalois, those malachas which are an Issa chalois, Torah prohibits you from bringing about a certain result. So if you're going to bring about the result, you're going to have more food cooked, then it should constitute an Issa deraisa. So he entertains, Yer Samech entertains the possibility along the lines of this Shulti Gemara. He doesn't quote the Shulti Gemara. He's also entertaining such a possibility that we should divide between the various malachas on Shabbos. Some of them should be defined as an Issa Pa'ula, and there the Marbe Bishurim will only be an Issa Derabbah, and some should be an Issa Chalais, where there's a possibility that Grama will be an Issa Deraisa, and Marbe Bishurim will be an Issa Deraisa. So getting back again, we assume that gram melacha is mutam in Torah. It's only asam derabban. The question is, how does one give a definition of grama? So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasuk quotes from the Marsham, from other Achrayim, that who define grama as a melacha lachazman. If I set up a system where the melacha is not going to happen right now, there's a delayed reaction. The melacha is only going to occur at a later time. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about this. He didn't know the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasuk, and I think that's the only thing that he ever saw in the Sefer. He didn't like it. He didn't think that it wasn't his fault. He quoted it from Rabbi Poskim. He didn't like this definition. So he thought that it wasn't correct, that even a malacha lachazman is also malacha. He said you have to have a different definition. So he said as follows. There is a Tosfos in Sanhedrin and Daf Ein Zayin Amud Aleph. But Tosfos is bothered with a kasha. There is a Mishnah in Chulin that when you shecht the behemi, you need koyach gavra for the shechita. So what if a person has a knife, a very sharp sakan shel shechita, and he puts it away somewhere, and then an animal happens to be walking a week later and the wind is blowing something fierce, the wind causes the knife to fall off from the ledge and to shecht the behemah, a perfect shechita, an abstract case, never going to happen in a million years. What's the din? So the Mishnah says it's an avela, it's no good because you need kar gavra. So Tosfos asks the kasha, but if ishim shemchitzov, whenever you make a fire, then the fire travels. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan v'Ish Lakish, and the second parak in Baba Kama, the Afchav Beis, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan that ishim mishum chitzav is considered as if you shot an arrow. So if I leave the knife over here and the wind blows the knife, so the koyach hacham yurabai, that's the chiddush of Eish. The koyach hacham yurabai relates back to me, and it's considered my mice, even I didn't do the whole thing. So why not say that it should be my shechita? I did the shechita of the behem. So Tosfos gives difficult answers. So Rav Chaim has in his sefer on the Rambam, as well as the Chazon Ish, they write the same answer, that that's not a kasha. The only time we apply the klal isha mishum chitzav, that the koyach hacham yurabai, the natural force that I harnessed, relates back to me and it's considered as if I did the whole pa'ula, that's only if the koyach hacher picks up right away. I have a roast, and then the wind is blowing already, and it picks up where I leave off. But if I leave the knife over there, and a whole week goes by, a day goes by, an hour goes by, and then the wind starts to blow later, so the koach acha that comes in, that kicks in later, didn't pick up where I left off, so that doesn't relate back to me. That's not considered my maisa hodah. The Nesivis has the same distinction. Before Rav Chaim and the Chazon Ish, Tzivos has the same distinction. The answer a kasha of the Ktzais HaChoshen. There is a Tosfos in Kiddushin. There's a humorous Tosfos in Kiddushin. The Gemara talks about how are you kind of an elephant. So one time is all the opinion you have to do hagbor. How are you going to pick up the elephant? So the Gemara says b'chavilei zmaros. So what does it mean? So Rashi says you put the bundles of twigs on the floor, you get the elephant to climb up on top, and you did a hagbor. And Tosfos says that elephants can jump. That's where Rabbi Slifkin got into trouble, because he said Tosfos never saw an elephant. Elephants can jump. There is no such thing. So Tosfos didn't know. So Tosfos says if you wave the ice cream on top of the head, the elephant, whatever he likes, whatever he's, you wave the cherries or the berries on top of the elephant, if he jumps up, so you did the hagbor with the koach hacham yurabai. The animal jumped up because of your causing the animal to get excited about whatever the prize was that you waved on top. So that hagbor relates to you. So Rabbi Slifkin is right. He says that Tosfos never saw an elephant. Elephants cannot jump up. But the halacha is correct. If I cause an animal to jump up, if there would be an elephant that could jump, so that would constitute a kinyan hagbor. So the Ktzais HaChoshen has a kasha. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Chafala from the base. That's the basis of the whole din of Hasagas Gvul, that you're not allowed to open up another business to interfere with someone else's parnasa. So the Gemara says if somebody is a fisherman and he set out nets in order to catch fish, and then another guy is going to come, but he didn't come back. He sets out the nets with the bait, then he goes to the base medrash to learn. He goes to sleep or whatever. He's not involved anymore over here. Then another guy comes and he sees that a lot of fish got caught, and he grabs all the fish and he puts it into his sack and he makes a kinyan hagbon. He walks home. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. That's Hasagas Gvul. Machikim Mitzvahs Adag, Men Adag Kem Lo Ritzis Adag. You're not allowed to do a Hasagas Gul on the other guy. So the Gemara says it's an issue of Hasagas Gul. So the Tzachoshin asked the Kasha, what Hasagas Gul? Should be Gezel Gomer Men HaTorah. If you kind of behagbo, if I wave chavilis morris on top of an animal, and I get the animal to jump up, that's called the kinyan hagbo. So the Gemara says the same thing in Kiddushin. If I whistle to an animal, the animal walks towards me, that's a kinyan meshicha. So what if I put bait in the river or the ocean, and the fish starts swimming towards the bait? Or some of the fish will be below, and they'll swim up. So the fish that swim up, I caused them to swim up. I made a hagbah. I know that fish enjoy eating this kind of bait. I left worms, I left another dead fish there. Smaller fish. So the bigger fish want to eat the smaller fish. So if I caused the fish to swim sideways, didn't I make a mishiche? If I caused the fish to swim up, didn't I make a hagbah? So the one who left the net with the bait should be kind of meikara din. And the one who takes the fish later on should be a gazlon gomer. Why does the Gemara just talk about being masig gvul and the other one's parnasa? It should be gezel gomer. So the Ktzos asked this kash. So the Nesivus answers, he thinks the kash is based on a mistake. The only time the Koach HaChemurabai relates back to me and it's considered as if I did the Hagbah, if I did the Mashiach, is if while you're waving the ice cream on top of the elephant's head, the elephant jumps up simultaneously. Or if I do a pu'ula and then the Koach HaChem kicks in right away. Let's say Zoyra V'ruch Mesayata. I throw something up in the air and the wind blows it. So if the wind blows it, Dalan Amis B'shus HaRabim, Achai Mishum Hoitzo. I don't dafka have to carry it in my hand. I don't have to dafka throw it Dalan Amis. If I throw it up, I didn't throw it side, I throw it up and the wind is blowing, and I know the wind is going to blow a Dalan Amis away. So I'm Achai Mishum Mabed Dalan Amis B'shus HaRabim. Koach HaChem Yorboi relates back to me, it's considered all part of my pu'ula. I harness this natural force in order to do Hoitzur. I harness a natural force, Zorah V'ruch Mesayat, to separate the Eichel from the Psoilus in the act of Zorah. So the same over here, I get the animal to do work for me. I didn't have to do the Hagbah, I didn't have to do the Mashiach. I whistle to the animal, right immediately after I whistle, the animal starts running towards me. Or I wave the bait, and while I'm waving the bait, the animal jumps up and the animal runs sideways. But if I put in the net with the bait and I go to the base matters to learn, and or I go to sleep, whatever, and then later on the koechache kicks in, later on the fish come and they see the bait and they start running. So the Nesiva says that's a mistake. The Ktzos made a mistake. That doesn't relate to me. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that this definition that's given by the Nesivas and given by Rav Chaim and given by the Chazon Ish, this is the definition of Groma. Whenever the Koach HaMeyuraboy kicks in later, then it doesn't relate to me, then it's called the Groma. I didn't do the Maisa. Masha'enikain, if the Koach HaChem is already functioning, the Koach HaChem begins to function simultaneously with my Pu'ula or immediately after I do my Pu'ula. I do a Pu'ula and the Koach HaChem kicks in right away, so then the Koach HaChem Meyuraboy, we learn out from the Parsha of Eish that the Koach HaChem relates to me. Oh, so the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa talks about a Shabbos clock. Halacha L'maisa, he says, let's say you have a Shabbos clock, the lights are off, and it's dark in the house. You want to turn the lights on, so I'll arrange something with the buttons on the timer to cause the light to go on another hour. So the Shmir Shabbos assumes since the light doesn't go on now, that's a malach alachazman, and that's called a grumma. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it wasn't correct. He thought the electricity is ticking away now. The clock is attached to the electrical outlet, and the thing is ticking away now. Since the Koach HaChem is already here now, it's just a matter of time, it's going to happen later. I'm harnessing the Koach HaChem of the electricity, which is ticking away right now.
The circuit is not connected. Let's shut the lights off. There's no circuit.
But the clock is ticking away, and this is all connected. So he thought that since everything is all connected, and there is a Koach HaChem functioning already now, and I set it up in such a way that that Koach HaChem, which is functioning now, is going to extend to the light, so he thought that that should be a Malacha Derais. He didn't think that just by saying it's a Malacha Lachazman, that that's already called Grum. Questionable. This was his Chiddush.
I mean, it's like, it sounds to me like saying, like, there's a window with the Khalif also, there's a window 50 miles away functioning right now. And so what's the issue? Because it's in proximity, it's in space, or
right,
proximity?
Right, that's the daf in Sanhedrin. I in Zion went up to Taisvah, says, Dima Maskal, Soifcha Malovoi. So the Gemara says there, if you tie a person up in the Sahara Desert in the sun, he's going to die from heat. He's going to get a stroke. He's going to die from heat. Or if you, let's say, you tie a person up in a butcher's freezer, so it's so cold there, he's going to die from the cold. So if you tie kofsa bechama, kofsa betzina, is chay mishum retzeach. But it takes a couple of hours till he dies, but it already began now. But if I tie him up at night in the Sahara Desert, the sun didn't rise yet. So if chama lovoi, the sun is, I know the sun is going to rise. For the last 6,000 years, sun rises at whatever time, 7:11 in the morning on October 20th, whatever. I know it's going to rise. But soif cham alovai, soif tzina alovai, the tzina is not here yet, so then the Gemara says, you're not chayv. The Gemara says, so he thought that that's what the Nesivis and the Rab Chaim and the Chazanish are all driving at, that if the koyach achar is already here, and I'm harnessing that koyach now, even though it's going to be lachazman, that is called my pool. That you learn out from Eish. It's not just a din in Eish, it's a din in Kol HaTarakula. That Koach HaChemiyorba relates back to me. It's called my Hagbah, it's called my Chil Shabbos, it's called my Meshicha. I did the Maisa. But if the Koach HaCha doesn't kick in and it doesn't kick in until later, that's called the Grama. Yeah. So we assume La Halacha de Ramo, and Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mordechai, that groma is also midirabbanan, and we're only matirit b'makom dleiko, or the later poskim say b'makom chalushem b'sakana, b'makom mitzvah, when you have a great tzorach. How far does it go? How far does it go, the definition of groma? So there is a gemara in Beitza, on Lamed Zayin, where the gemara quotes a tosefta from Masechus Shabbos. It's not a din in Yontif. Usually Masechus Beitza has dinim of Yontif, and here and there you have some dinim of Shabbos. So the gemara has the following. If you cook water on Shabbos, that's a malacha mevashel. So one person brings a fire and he puts it over here. Another person takes an empty pot and he puts it on a tripod. Another person comes, puts a tripod. Another person comes, puts an empty pot. So far nobody did anything. And then finally, the punchline, the last guy pours cold water into the pot on top. Echad hevi seish, echad hevi esa. Kedera, echad hevi as a tripod, whatever. The one who puts the mind, the one who does the last thing, is chayv and kulam pturim. That's the Loshon HaGemara. So the Magen Avraham quotes earlier a poskim who medayik from the Loshon HaGemara. Achron chayev, he did the bishul. The kulam pturim, he says the mashmas of kulam pturim usually means potter abalos. The Gemara says in Shabbos dav gimel amar aleph that whenever it says potter in Hilchos Shabbos means potter abaloser, except for the three cases that is potter amuter. But one of the cases of Pata would be Pata Avalasa is this case. Why is it Pata Avalasa? So the Magen Avraham assumes, and I think in the name of the Mashal, that that's considered Grama. That's considered Grama. I put the fire over here knowing that someone else is going to come later on to do the Bishul. And I put the tripod, another guy puts the pot. So the one who brought the fire, the one who put the dry pot, the one who brought the pot, they all know that a fourth person is going to come and pour water into the pot. That's also called grama. One could have argued the point, how is that grama? I didn't do it at all. The fourth guy is a human being. He's Yisrael. He did the whole malach on his own. No. The fact that I set up the whole thing that the last fellow should do the malach, that's also called a grama. Even though it's a human being who's doing the final step. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, based on this, every so often the shaila comes up, that the pose for a photograph on Shabbos would be a malacha, would be an Isra al Grama, even if the photographer is a non-Jew. We once had an Esek here in Yeshiva. Shabbos morning, some people marched into the Beis Medrash, and they decided their son is going to be Bar Mitzvah, and they wanted to take photographs of everybody in the middle of the davening. So we weren't posing, but we told them they shouldn't take any photographs. But that was Rav Soloveitchik, thought a chiddush based on this Magen Avraham, that the photographer, the non-Jew, wants to do a malacha, but if you're posing in a special way where he wants you to stand over here as opposed to over there, even though imams, you don't lift the finger, you're not doing a malacha at all. But to set up the scene in order that this another person should be able to do the malacha, maybe that's also considered grama based on this Magen Avraham. And grama, we assume gram malacha is awesome at the rabbana, unless b'makom dleika, b'makom choyla, b'makom mitzvah.
Posing is an act.
Yeah, they tell me to stand over here instead of over there. Yeah. They wanted us to stand by the Aron Kodesh with their child who's going to be by mitzvah. So they wanted some people to stand there to look better for their photograph. So to walk up specially, where I would or normally not walk up, that's a pool.
But some also for non-Jew though.
There's room to argue. There's room to dingza. Okay, but he thought that she still it is called a malacha. The Gemara says that if a Nochri strikes a match on Shabbos, that's called Nasa Bo Malacha, and you can't use that for Havdalah, the Bar Meori Hoesh. Whenever Malacha was not. If a Jew turns on a fire on Shabbos, for Chodesh Eish B'Sakana, that's called Loi Nasa Bo Malacha. Chodesh Eish B'Sakana is Het Agom. But if a non-Jew turns on a fire, I would have said just the reverse. But that's the way it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. If a non-Jew turns on a flame on Shabbos, it is a malacha. If a Jew makes a flame on behalf of a chodesh eish b'chana, that's not called a malacha at all.
From the
rabbanan,
no? Is that the fire that the non-Jew put up from Shabbos, if you use it for the
chodesh,
it's only the
rabbanan? No, if a non-Jew made a fire for himself. So you're not allowed to use it for bar mirayish on mitzoy Shabbos, because it's not supposed to be malacha. But if a Jew lit a fire on Shabbos on behalf of a Cholosh Yesh B'Sakana, that's considered Hetagama, no Malacha at all. I would have said just the opposite. The Jew does a Malacha, it's a Malacha. But it's Mutta B'Makim Pikoch Nevesh. The guy does a Malacha. I would have thought it doesn't count at all. But the Gemara says it does count. It is considered a Malacha. It's what the Dingzach. That's what Rav Soloveitchik taught. You're not allowed to post. The Gemara has a Machlekes and Shas in many different places. Machlekes Rav Shimon and Rav Yudah, where the Dovashay the Miskavein is Asa Ramuta. What's the definition of Dovashayna Miskavin? It means a person is doing Pu'ula A, and he knows in advance that a may or may not, Pu'ula A is Pu'ula Hamuteris, he knows in advance that a may or may not result in Pu'ula B, which is a Pu'ula Hasura. So Rabbi Yudah says that you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yudah says it's Sofik Derais, Iluchumr. Dovashayna Miskavin. You know in advance that it may turn out to be doing an Isa. So you're not allowed. And Reb Shimon disagrees. He holds the Dovashayna Miskavein is mutter. How do we pass on the Shulchan Aruch? So the Psak HaMekubal, the Dori Doris always was like Reb Shimon, that Dovashayna Miskavein is mutter. Reb Yankif Emden wrote many Svarim. So one of his many Svarim is he wrote comments on Mishnah. So there's a Mishnah in Beitzah in the Lamed where the Mishnah talks about combing the animal. The animal has an itch on its back because it has so much filth on the back. So the Mishnah talks about combing the animal's hair to get the dirt out, a shaila that it's a dovashayna miskavein and may or may not cause bleeding in the animal. So are you permitted to scratch the animal's back in such a way that you know in advance that it may cause bleeding? So it's a shaila from dovashayna miskavein. So Rabbi Yankif Emden on that Mishnah takes on all the Rishayim and all the Achayim and says everybody's wrong. He's the only one who knows the truth. We distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then on Yom Tov, Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutter, and on Shabbos, Dov Shein Miskaven is Asa. Where does it come from? From thin air. He doesn't explain where it comes from. He says he's disagreeing with the Torah and the Rambam, everybody. Nobody holds like that. Where does it come from? So it's based on a Gemara. Part of it is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Pei Dalet and Pei Hei, Pei Dalet and Beis Pei Hei, where the Gemara suggests a distinction between Isurim Chamurim and Isurim Kalim. An Isa Kal means where you have Malkus, an Isa Chama means where you have Nisim. So the Gemara says that we should really distinguish Dovashayna Miskavin should only be Mutter by Chavi Lavin, by Isurim Kalim. But by an Isa Chama that has Misa, we should really say that Dovashayna Miskavin should be us. Even Reb Shimon, who holds that Dovashayna Miskavin is Mutter, that should only be by Isurim Lavin. By Suri Misa we should be Mak. So the Rabbi Yankov Emden adapts that line in the Gemara, and that's the end of the story. But it's against all of Shas, what he said. So how does the Gemara continue? The Gemara there in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Dalet continues. The Gemara says, Taisus quotes this Gemara, Taisus in different Mesichtas quotes this Gemara, and Yulman and Shab is different places. So the Gemara says like this, it should have been like that. the Reb Shimon should have agreed by Yisurim Chamura Mavmiso, like Maka Ovivimo. A son is a doctor, is going to treat his own father. So I'm not allowed to be Choyl Bachaver, I'm not allowed to cause anyone to bleed, not allowed to harm anybody. So how can a doctor ever treat any patient? He may accidentally cause him to bleed unnecessarily. So the answer is that Dov Shenim is coming, his mutter. He's not interested in causing him to bleed unnecessarily. He wants to treat the patient, let's say the dentist. Dentist sometimes has to cause bleeding, but he has to be careful not to cause unnecessary bleeding. So how can you allow the dentist to treat the patient? He may by mistake do extra more than is absolutely necessary. So the Gemara says that Dov Shenim is coming is mutter because it's only an Issa La. But what about Makav Avim? Makav Avim is an Issa Nisa. So a son shouldn't be allowed to treat the father, because Rab Shimon should agree that Dov Shenim Miskaven should be Osir by Yisuri Miso. So the Gemara has this at one point. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, but Rab Shimon says Dov Shenim Miskaven is Mutter and Shabbos also. Lu Shabbos is an Issa Nisa. So he just explained that even Rab Shimon should agree that by Yisurim Chamurim, where there's an Issa Nisa, Koris and Misa, it should be Dov Shenim Miskaven should be Osir. Gemara says, no, that's a different reason why. Because since Malachas Machshev is Osra Torah, there has to be a malacha with a machshava. The Dov Shenim Miskaven is mutter min haTorah, even though it's an Issa Chomer. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Tosis quotes that. Tosis expands on this. Tosis in Yuma, Tosis in Shabbos, and other Exubis. Tosis in many other Masechtas quotes this and says, even Reb Yudah, who thinks Dov Shenim Miskaven is awesome min haTorah, but he's masking that on Shabbos it's only midirabbanan. Because on Shabbos, malachas machshava is also Torah. If you're lacking intention, you didn't want to do this. So the Dov Shenim Miskaven will be a lack of malachas machshava, can't be an Issa Deraisa. That's Tosfos Shita. Tosfos had a girsa like that in the Gemara in Yuma. If you learn in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion of Dov Shenim Miskaven. So the Shita Mekubetzis has pages and pages and pages and pages on this machlokes. The Bali Atosfos insist even Rabbi Yudah holds Dov Shenim Miskaven Asam and Atorah, but on Shabbos the maximum it could be is Midirabbanan. And the other Berishonim disagree. They hold it's not true. That Rabbi Yudah would hold Dov Shenim Miskaven would be Anissa Deraisa even on Shabbos. They wouldn't hold from this far. In fact, there's an interesting Tosfos there in Sanhedrin on Daf Pehei Amud Aleph that's not well known. Tosfos says this explicitly. Whoever doesn't realize it, if you look in the Marsha, and the Marsha points it out, you look in the Chiddush Aran, it's explicit, but if you read the Tosfos slowly and carefully, you don't need the Marsha, you don't need the Chiddush Aran. Tosfos says a startling din. The Gemara has all the malachas, if you do be mekalkel, so I'll call mekalkel and peturim. And mekalkel is a lack of malachas machsheves, so the worst it could be is going to be an Issa derabbanan. The Loshon HaMishnah, call mekalkel and peturim. So the Gemara says Pater Abalasa. There's an Issa derabbanan. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Reb Shimon is of the opinion chutz mechayv lamavir. Kol mekalkel and peturim chutz mechayv lamavir. There are two malachas chayv lamavir where there's no need for a malachas machsheves. Even mekalkel is also chayv. And the Gemara says that since mekalkel is chayv, so any other din that's based on malachas machsheves will also be chayv. So the Gemara says chayv lamavir misasik will also be chayv. And whatever other dinim are based on malachas machsheves will not apply to chayv lamavir. So Tosfos writes an interesting chiddush. According to Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon holds Dov Shenim Miskaven is mutter by Yisurim Kalim. But by Yisurim Chamurim where there's Misa, Reb Shimon should be Maskim, should be Moide, the Dov Shenim Miskaven should be an Issa Deraisa, except for Shabbos, because Malachas Machshavos Asra Torah. But Reb Shimon holds that Mekalkal B'chov L'mavir is Chayiv. Means by Chov L'mavir you don't need any Malachas Machshavos. So if you don't need Malachas Machshavos, then not only Mekalkal will be Chayiv, Dov Shenim Miskaven will be an Issa Deraisa. So according to Reb Shimon, Dov Shenim Miskaven is Mutar and Kol HaTorah Kula. By Isuri Miso, it'll be an Issa Deraisa except for Shabbos. But on Shabbos, two malachas will revert back to the Chumra. Chayv lamavir don't need malachas machshavos or arai mekalkel es chayiv. So by chayv lamavir, Dov Shenim Miskaven will be an Issa Deraisa. Reb Shimon is the Mekel. Reb Shimon is always the Mekel who says Dov Shenim Miskaven is mutam at the Rabbanan. It's not even awesome at the Rabbanan. But by chayv lamavir, hold that it's an Issa Deraisa. Reb Yudah doesn't agree that mekalkel es chayiv by chayv lamavir. Reb Yudah holds mekalkel es poter and kol haTorah kula. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Dov Shein Miskavein is awesome in Atoira, except for Shabbos. Shabbos is a lack of Malachas Mashevis. So he'll hold that Chayvel Amaver is Mutam in Atoira. Chayvel Amaver Mekalkal is Mutam in Atoira. Because he doesn't distinguish between Chayvel Amaver and the other Lamatas Malachas. Reb Shimon is the one who distinguishes. So Taisus points out, this is very strange. We usually thought Reb Shimon is the Mekal and Reb Yehuda is the Machmer. With respect to Chayvel Amaver, it'll be Fakir. The Reb Yehuda will hold that Mekalkal, the Chovel Amar is the same as all the other Lamatas Malachas, only in Itzah Dirabbanan. Reb Shimon hold that Dov Sheni Miskavin. Reb Yehuda holds that Mekalkal Chovel Amar is Potter, it's the same as all the other Malachas. So Dov Sheni Miskavin by Shabbos is never Dereis, it's always Dirabbanan. Reb Shimon will disagree, he'll hold that by Chovel Amar, Dov Sheni Miskavin will be in Itzah Dereis. Yeah. Halach L'maisa, we don't accept Rabbi Yankov Emden's He'ora. We don't accept many of the He'oras that he made. How did he compare to Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz? He made all Machlokes Rabbi Yonis and like a kindergarten teacher as opposed to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He picked the fight with it wasn't even field. So we have not accepted most of the funny ideas that he came up with. So we pass like Reb Shimon that Dov Sheni Miskavein is Mutter. Tosfos, the big Tosfos in Yuma has a beautiful comment. Why is it that by Dov Sheni Miskavein we pass like Reb Shimon is Mutter and Atar, it's even Mutter and the Rabbanon? And why is it by Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa is Vaita Machlek Zabiru Reb Shimon, so we pass like Reb Shimon that is Mutter and Atar, but it's also Mutter and the Rabbanon? Why did the Chachamim distinguish between Dov Sheni Miskavein as opposed to Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lugufa? Why did they introduce a Chumra Midirabbanan by Yein Tzvicha Lugufa? By Dov Sheni Miskavein, they never introduced a Chumra Midirabbanan. So Tosfos gives a very elementary answer. Tosfos says that Dov Sheni Miskavein, according to Reb Shimon, is Mutar and Kola Torah Kula. So why should you introduce a Chumra in Hilchah Shabbos is Mutar and Kola Torah Kula? Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lugufa, the Reb Shimon holds, is not an Issa Deraisa, is only applicable to Shabbos and Yontav. Doesn't even apply to Malachas Shvius. In Shemitah, Shnasa Shemitah, there is certain Avodas HaKarka that are Osir, so Ein Tzvicha Lagufa will still be an Issa Deraisa. Taisus in my cotton proves it from the Gemara. So Malachas Ein Tzvicha Lagufa is only a Kula, according to Reb Shimon, it's only a Kula in Hilchah Shabbos that doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's what motivated HaChachamim to introduce a Chumra bin the Rabbanan Kedei LaHashvah Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula. So he said, let's be Machmer by Malachas Ein Tzvicha Lagufa by Shabbos mid the Rabbanan. But by Dov Sheni Miskavein and Kol HaTorah Kula, it's Mutter. So why should you introduce a Chumra in Hilchah Shabbos? The whole idea is only Kedei LaHashvah Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what Tosfos answers. Yeah, this halacha that we pass on like Reb Shimon, Dov Sheni Miskavein is Mutam in HaTorah and Mutam in the Rabbanan is only provided that there's no Psik Reshe. The Gemara says, "Moi Reb Shimon b'Psik Reshe v'lo Yomus." Whenever I'm doing a Pula HaMuteris, which will vaday end up in a Pula HaSura, it's a vadois that it'll end up to be a Pula HaSura. So that's a Psik Reshe v'lo Yomus that it's us. So there is a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. I mentioned before the Gemara Gimel Amad Aleph HaMaseches Shabbos. Om Shmuel, whenever it says in Mishnayis Maseches Shabbos Potter, means Potter Abel Aser, except for three cases. There are three Mishnayis where it says Potter, it means Potter and Mutter. So one of the three Mishnayis is the following. A wild animal ran into a house. Let's say a wild deer ran into the house. And the guy wants to trap the deer. Let's say a non-Jew wants to trap the deer because he wants to eat it or whatever. So he sits in the doorway. So there's no other exit, there's no other way for the animal to run out. So the one who sits in the doorway and blocks the whole exit is chayv. If it's a Jew who does it, so by standing there, he's chayv mishum tzod. He just did the act of tzed. If it's a non-Jew, he's allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So let's say one person sat there in the doorway and he blocked the way out, so the animal cannot run out. Then another person sits down in the same narrow doorway, and he carries on a conversation with the first guy. So the second one who sits down is not doing an act of tzedek. The animal is already caught by virtue of the fact that the first guy is sitting there. Then after they sit and schmooze a little ashnar for a couple of minutes, so the first guy walks away, and the second guy stays there in order to maintain the animal that it should be trapped. So the Mishnah says that that's the second one is mutter. He's not doing a malacha of Chilul Shabbos. Why? But Rabbi, he's sitting there. He's doing the malacha of Tzedah. So Leitchik thought that Mishnah is teaching us the klal that there's no violation of malacha Shabbos b'shevi al tasa. There are many other sources to indicate this. So Leitchik thought that that's what the Mishnah tells you. He can't be in violation of Tzedah b'shevi al tasa. So the Mishnah says, Olamaza Daima, what is this to be compared to? That there's no violation of Tzedah. The Noel is Beso, Venim Tzvi, Shomer Bitocho. A person wants to go to Shul on Shabbos morning, and he opens the door, and then he's about to lock the door. Let's say he locks the door, and then it turns out that by closing the door, by locking the door, he just trapped an animal. So the Mishnah says, and in such a case, he's Potter, and the Gemara says, Potter Amuta. Such a case, Potter Amuta. So how do you read the Mishnah? So the Ran says, I would have read the Mishnah like the Ran. The Ran says, he didn't realize that there was an animal that was trapped. He didn't realize that's Mamish Masasig. He closes the door and he locks the door. He thinks that he's locking the door to protect all of his belongings, that Ganavim shouldn't come in and empty out the whole house. Little did he know that by closing the door and locking the door, he's trapping the animal. So since it's a Masasig, so Masasig is Potter Amuta. There's no violation of Chilul Shabbos in the case of Masasig. So the Ran quotes the Ran on the Rif, quotes the Rashba, who doesn't learn like that. The Rashba says that the fellow knows in advance before he locks the door that the animal is getting caught, and he wants to trap the animal. His main intention is to lock the door. He always locks the door when he goes to shul to prevent the Ganavim from stealing all of his belongings. As a secondary intention, he also wants to trap the animal, and it's still muta. The Rashba learns that it's still muta. So the Ran says, is he crazy? What do you mean it's mutter? But if you close the door in order to trap an animal, that's tzedah. So if the person is closing the door with two intentions, one intention is to protect all his belongings, he doesn't want to let ganavim in. Second intention is to trap the animal. That's mamash dava hamiskave. So it's a malocha deraisa. So the Ran says, not only do I disagree with the Rashba, in that case where he has outright intention of both protecting his belongings and of trapping the animal, I think the Rashba would be wrong even if he's not interested in trapping the animal. He says it'll be a psik reshe. He knows that by locking the door, his real intention is to protect his belongings. But he knows that it's a psik reshe that he's trapping the animal. The animal won't be able to run out. So psik reshe is moed Reb Shimon, that the Obishenim Miskaven is awesome in Atura on Shabbos. So the Ran disagrees totally with both things that the Rashba said. Where did the Rashba get such a wild idea? It doesn't make any sense at all. So the Rashba says, it says so in the Yerushalmi, which it does. It says in the Yerushalmi this wild idea that since your main intention in locking the doors to protect your belongings, it's only a secondary intention that you have in mind to trap the animal, so that's mutter, even though it's a dava hamiskavet. How do you understand it? It's unbelievable. How can you understand that? So apparently the Yerushalmi that the Rashba is following distinguishes between two types of tzedah. There's one type of tzedah, an animal is running, so I trap the animal. I throw a net on the animal, or I grab it by the horns, or whatever. Or I shoot it. When you shoot the animal in the leg, so you trapped it, but you shoot it and you kill it. So you did tzedah in addition to the tilus neshama. So there's one way to trap an animal by handling the animal. Another way to trap the animal. The animal runs into the room, and I close all the windows and I close all the doors. I did say that without touching the animal. The malacha is done on the animal. Malacha is not, there's no violation of the malacha on the doors and the windows. But by closing all the doors and the windows, I accomplished tzedah on the animal, indirectly. So the Rashba understands from the Yerushalmi, that's the way he read the Yerushalmi, that only constitutes a malacha of tzedah on the animal if that's your main intention. I'm closing the windows and the doors intending to trap the animal. But if my main purpose in closing the windows and the doors really is to protect my belongings, that's what I do every morning when I go to shul. I lock all the windows and all the doors. Today on Shabbos I happen to see that there's an animal got trapped. I have a secondary intention as well, to trap the animal. So since there's only a secondary intention, so the pula that you do on the windows and the doors doesn't relate to the animal. And it's not called even Dova Hamaskabin. It's not called the Malacha of Tzedum. It's considered Tzedah, B'Shevi Al Tasa. The mice of closing the windows and the doors relates to protecting my property, and doesn't relate to the, if my main intention would have been to trap the animal, then the Mishnah says that it's tzeda. When you sit by the doorway and you block the exit, or you close all the windows, you lock the doors, so that's your main intention, so that's a maisa malacha of tzeda. If my main intention is to protect my belongings, and this is a secondary intention, so the pu'ula doesn't relate to the trapping of the animal, it's considered a malacha b'shev yavas. So the Ran rejects that, that's out of the question. And the Ran even says, even if I'm not interested at all in trapping the animal, that'll be what we call a psikresha de la nichalai. Tosis in Ksubis in the first parak, and Tosis in Shabbos in different mesichtas, Tosis quotes the Oruch. The Oruch was a contemporary, Oruch lived in Rome, he was a contemporary of Rashi. So the Oruch is of the opinion, he has a hoichachach in Gemara, that psikresha de la nichalai is mutter. If you're not really interested, you stand to gain nothing from the psikresha. He says psikresha de la nichalai is mutter, and Tosis disagrees with the Oruch, and they think that psikresha de la nichalai is usur. The only thing is, it'll be a malacha shein tzvich legufa. If I don't plan to use the results of the malacha shein tzvich legufa will be patar v'lasa, but it won't be mutter. There's no reason to say that it's mutter. So that's an ongoing debate. So the Ran says, if you close the door on your home intending to protect your property, knowing in advance that there is an animal that just got caught, so he says that's a psikresha. You're not allowed to close the door. That'll be a psikresha de lo nichalai. That's the ongoing debate between Tosis and the Oruch, whether psikresha lo nichalai is mutar or
us. How does he resolve the Yerushalmi?
He doesn't talk about it. He just quotes the Rashba, says it's a Yerushalmi, and he ignores it. And he doesn't agree. Now, when you look in the Shilta Giborim, this Ran is on the Rif. You look on the side of the Rif, the Shilta Giborim, he suggests a compromise between the Ran and the Rashba. Maybe we should be machmir if you have both intentions in mind. My main intention is to protect my property, and as a secondary intention, I also want to trap the animals. So that the Rani says is right, that's mamash adabah miskavin. And the second argument that the Ran said, that it's a psikreshe, so the Shulti Giborim suggests maybe there's room to be mekel on that. So several gedolei achrayim go along with the Shulti Giborim. The Yeshuas Yankif, Avdi Nezer, and a few others, Rabbi Chana Wasserman, he's not from the Poskim, but he goes along with this. Now the Shilta Giborim himself gives one explanation for this. Abaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, was very fond of saying over the Shilta Giborim with his whole explanation, but these Gedolei Achronim give a different explanation. They don't go along, they accept the chilek of the Shilta Giborim, but not his explanation. So they say the following. This is very, very relevant to Halacha Maaseh. They say, when is something considered a psikreshe? If I'm cutting off the head of the chicken, my child needs a toy to play with, and he likes to play with heads of chickens. I take a knife, cut the head. I'm not really interested in killing the chicken, but you can't. Psikreshe v'leyomus. If you're going to cut off the head, the child should play with it. So you know the chicken is going to get killed. So by my cutting off the head of the chicken, I'm killing the chicken v'yadai. So then there's a din of psikreshe. So let's say I'm closing the door. So I'm causing a malacha to occur in the deer, in the tzvi, nimtza tzvi shama betocho. I trap this wild animal. So I'm not doing a pa'ula biyadayim, I'm not doing a pa'ula to the deer. I'm doing my activities done on the doors. So if that's what I'm interested in, by closing the windows and closing the doors, I want to trap the animal, then it's called a malacha of tzeda. If by closing the windows I'm not really interested, I couldn't care less. It's a psikresha lo nichalai. I don't need this wild animal. So even though I know that a malacha is vaday occurring over here, so these achrenim suggest maybe that doesn't fall under the category of psikresha, because you're not doing the pu'ula, the malacha biyadayim, to the item where the malacha is being chal. How is this very relevant halacha lemaisa? We have a lot of times people have lights set up on a system that if someone walks near the house, so the lights go on. So there are enough lights to walk in the street. Or let's say, when I look in a mirror, there's no violation of any malacha. But my image appears on the mirror, so that's just a reflection. But let's say I stand over here and I see my image appears on a television screen. So that's not a reflection. That's not a mirror. So that's an issue of ksiva. So let's say I know that there's whoever walks into the building, whatever happens in front of the front door of the building is going to be recorded on a video. They have a videotape running the whole time. So let's say if I go in front of the building, I'll start waving like this. On the video screen, they'll have me waving like this. So that's an issue of ksiva. The din of ksiva is not only forbidden if you write letters, even if you draw a picture, atzor tzura is also a violation of ksiva. So if a person stands in front of a video screen and he knows that he's waving his hands and walking to the door, he's going to be recorded somewhere, so that's an issue of ksiva. But he's not interested in doing the ksiva, he's interested in opening the door and going to his apartment. Or he's interested in walking in the street. He's not interested in causing the lights to go on. But it's a psikresha. He knows bevados that if he stands close to the building, the lights will go on. So according to the Ran, it's a psikresha. He can't budge. A psikresha is asur. But according to these Gedolei Achrayinim, Yeshuas Yankif, with the Avnei Nezer, with several other Gedolei Achrayinim, want to accept the compromise sheet of the Shilti Giborim, that if I'm interested, I want to wave for the screen, so they should see me waving, so that you're not allowed to do. I want to be a wise guy, they should see the way I'm waving. So that's ksiva. But if I want to mind my own business, I just want to open the door and go into my apartment, I'm not interested in making my image appear on the screen. It's a psikresha that is going to happen. So there's room to argue the point and say, this compromise shita, that psikresha is only usur if you're doing the malacha biyadayim to the cheftze where the malacha is occurring. If you're trapping the animal biyadayim, I'm closing the door and the mele the animal gets trapped. I'm not doing a pula biyadayim to the animal. The malacha is on the animal, not on the door. The pula done on the door and the window constitutes a malacha on the animal of tzeda, if that's my intention. But this case of a psikresha de lo nichalei, so the zoom target the point, it's not even called a psikresha at all, because the pula is not done on the actual object itself. So that's the suggestion that was made by several rabbanim years ago, when they came to the realization that whenever you walk in the street, wherever you walk, you're being videoed. So many stores and so many apartment buildings have videos running the whole time.
Does it matter if it's showing up on a screen or if it's being recorded on like a hard drive? Meaning some video cameras are there just, they record the last 24 or 48 hours. No one's necessarily, it's not necessarily going onto a screen, but it's just there in case something happens, they can go back.
That's a question, how shel kayama is it? If it's being recorded permanently, so then it's shel kayama. Even ksiva sheinu shel kayama is still awesome at the rabbah, should still be a nisa.
I understand it's awesome if a video screen person would wave, but how understand shaykh the ksiva? The ksiva, you're actually doing a ma'is isra when you're coloring, or whatever you're doing, as opposed to waving, where's the ma'is isra?
No, I'm causing my image to appear on the screen, or causing my image to appear on the tape. So that's also ksiva. Either kosev or mochek. That's a question. Let's say you take a photograph, I take a picture. So as long as I didn't develop it, so I don't have any picture. So the one who develops the picture on Shabbos, he's in violation of kosev. The one who takes the picture, it could be that that's a violation of mochek. What's the definition of mochek? See, people usually assume when you destroy ksav, that's mechika. So the Pashto says that that's not so. The Rosh quotes Abiferish et Tosefta, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have Shaiva Shagabi HaPinkos, you have a piece of parchment that you want to write on, but it has wax stuck to it, so you can't write on top of the wax. So you have to scrape off all the wax in order to be able to write on the parchment. So it says the one who Meser Shaiva, now Gabi HaPinkos, he's not destroying any Ksav, he's in violation of Mochek. What does it have to do with Mochek? So you see the definition of Mechik is Hachana L'Ksav. If I bring over a pen and a piece of paper, and I bring over a bottle of ink to someone to write, that may be groma. That may be groma. It may be lifneiver. Okay. But I don't think that's mochek. But mochek means you have the piece of paper in it and you can't write anything because it's all written already. So I erase whatever is written in order to be able to write shteyoises. Mochek hamanas lichtiv shteyoises. Or I remove the shaiva shagabi apinkos in order to be able to write something. That's called hachana l'ksiva. So to have, probably if you take a photograph of something, it's not a Polaroid, so you didn't develop it yet, so you can't say that there's any ksav over here, there's nothing visible. That's probably a malacha of moichek. The one who'll develop it later on, he'll be in violation of kosev.
But
she'll
be allowed to put up a video camera, meaning
you mentioned already, you know, stores, which department buildings, things that you have no control over. And how about a shul? So if a shul's worried about the security, can they put up a camera that will video everyone walking in and out of the shul?
So the people that go in are not, they don't really need it. We only want to catch the ganovim. We're not interested in catching. So there's room to argue the point and say that this is not even a psikresha. If you should adopt this position of the Shuas Yankin, many Achranim say like that, that it's not even called a psikresha because they're not interested in doing that ksiva.
Assuming that none of the people going by are the ganovim.
Yes.
Assuming the people... Right, so they're not interested in the whole thing, yeah. They're not interested. So there's room to argue the point and say that that's when we walk into the shul, we're not in violation of anything. That's the tzad
l'hakol. It's not called because you want the whole system. I as a member of the shul, want the government to be caught.
It is nichalei, but the question is, when I walk in front of the camera, am I doing any malacha? So I'm interested in walking into shul. I'm not interested, right now I'm not interested in doing ksiva. So the only thing is, but it's a psikresha that the ksiva is occurring. But I'm not doing a pa'ula to the thing. I'm walking over here and the pa'ula is over there. So there's room to argue the point and say that that's not called a psikresha.
Does it matter if it's motion activated? There are some security cameras that are motion activated, so only when you walk past them will turn on.
I don't think it would make a difference. You see, if you have, let's say a person scratches his back on the wall. He has an itch on his back. He scratches back on the wall just where the electric switch is. So that is called a psikresha. If you're going to scratch your back over there, you're going to cause the electric bulb to go on. But the bulb is over there and I'm scratching my back over here. No, but I know there's a wire. That's not a secret. I know there's a wire. It's physically connected. So that's considered doing a pula to the light itself. That's a psikresha. I'm doing the pula of turning on the light. But over here, because of motion and because of the heat or because of whatever, it's other things, that's probably not considered physically connected. Whatever is not physically connected, so then these achrayim adopted the pshara of the shilti gibarim, that's not called a psikresha. By closing the doors, I know the animal is getting trapped. By closing the doors, and I know that, but I'm not interested in trapping the animal. So many achrayim assume that that's not an isur. There's no din of psikresha over there. Chiddush. There is a popular notion, Maharal Prague and several other gedolei achrayim came up with another idea. It doesn't apply in this case. In other cases, it's relevant. That if I do a pula hamuteris now, and I know bevadois that this will result in a malocha, but the malocha is not going to happen now. It's going to happen in another minute or two. It's going to have a delayed reaction. So many achrenim hold that that's not called a psikresha. That's the whole heter to open up the refrigerator. By opening up the refrigerator, I know I'm going to cause the motor to start running earlier than otherwise. So you're not allowed to cause the motor to run. That's the question why. But we assume one is not allowed to start a motor on Shabbos. So that's a psikresha that I'm going to cause the motor to start earlier than otherwise. But it doesn't happen immediately. And you open up the refrigerator door, the motor will start half a minute later, a minute later. So many achrenim hold that that's not called a psikresha.
Because something could happen in the interim?
No. Whenever there's a delayed reaction, it's not called psikresha. Only when the malocha occurs immediately. I do the pula hamuteris, and right away the pula asura occurs. I cut off the head of the chicken as a toy for my child, and the chicken gets killed. So, mom, it should happen right away.
Immediately.
Yeah, but if it has a delayed reaction, so then many achrenim hold that that's not considered a psikresha.
That wouldn't be called achrenim.
It would be, but it wouldn't be called a psikresha.
So the head to open the refrigerator according to the Rebbe is because you don't know that the motor will go on at all. Because it's only if there's some possibility that the motor won't go on if I open the...
Minus if Ado is that the motor will start earlier than otherwise, so then it should be a Korach HaChamiyur by. Yeah? going to Rav's lecture should be also to open up a refrigerator.
Because it might
not okay.
But okay. The time lapse creates a possibility of losing the power. Stuff could happen in the interim.
The time lapse causes what?
Creates a possibility for things to happen in the interim. The refrigerator could die in the meantime.
Cheska's high. It's not done yet. Maybe
no, so the time lapse is not an advantage at all insofar as the fact that it introduces more possibilities to happen.
I don't think so. These Achaim just say they don't consider that a psik reisha. But he says even it's not a psik reisha, but should be a koach acham yorba. I don't know. It's a good question.
What's the reason why it's not a psik reisha though?
By definition. They think Adol Poshet the Mitzad HaSvara. They think it's only called the Psik Reshe if the Pula Hasura follows immediately. But if it doesn't follow immediately, that's by definition, it's not called Psik Reshe. This is what the Dingzach. I didn't think it was so Mukhrot, but a lot of Achrayim have that notion. In addition to the Machloek Zabiyut Reb Shimon by Dov Shein Miskaven, and we pass on like Reb Shimon, that Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutam and Atar Mutam and Rabban, there's another Machloek Zabiyut Reb Shimon that's unique in Hilchos Shabbos, we mentioned before. Most of Rishonim passing like Reb Shimon, the Melachah Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is Mutam and Hatar, it's only awesome in the Rabbanon, and therefore there is certain room for leniencies by Melachah Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa because it's only the Rabbanon. The question is, the Rambam and the Balamar hold not so, they hold the Halachas like Reb Yudah, that ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa is an Issa Deraisa, but in the Rambam there are a lot of kashas, there are a lot of stiras in the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch points out a lot of problems with Rambam, sticky Rambams, ain't Tzvicha L'Gufas, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. So there's a long, long essay by the Makevis HaMishneh, in the old editions, there's all one paragraph that goes for 10 pages, no periods, no commas, no new paragraphs, goes on and on and on. Someone had the patience to read it, and they told me that what it says is the following. I'll just say this in two lines, and he says it in 10 pages, that the only time the Rambam holds that ain't Tzvicha L'Gufas in Issa Deraisa is by Ovis. And by Toldus, even the Rambam will agree that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is not going to be an Issa Deraisa just by an Issa Derabbanan. There's such a run, and the end of Shemana Shvatim, the run on the Rif writes like that. And the Achrayim say, how can it be? But the Gemara in Bava Kama says that there's a first daf in Bava Kama, that there's never any difference between Ovis and Toldus at all, just the historical difference. Whatever was a Pula Hashuva on the Mishkan, is an Av, whatever was not in the Mishkan is only considered a Tolda. So how can the Rambam make such a distinction? So they explain differently. Atzi Pesach Frank suggests that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa at most can be a Tolda. Even if you hold Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa as Deraisa, it'll only be a Tolda because it's not the way the Av was done. So he says, you needed a Pasuk to teach you that Toldas are Rasa. If something is a Tolda of a Tolda, it's Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa on a Tolda, then it's a Tolda of a Tolda, so Atke Dekach, you have no Pasuk. That's the Har Tzvi has such a suggestion. Others suggested a different Hesber in this. I think Rabbi Itzel at Panavisha has like this. He suggested a different Mahalach in the Rama, not Tolda to Tolda. He says, why is something labeled as a Tolda? It's a different Pula from the Av, but it's done for the same purpose. It's done for the same Alachas Mashevis. But if you're doing a Pula which is not identical with the Av, so it's only a tolda, so what makes it into a tolda? Because you're doing it for the same purpose. But if you're doing a tolda, ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, you're doing it for a different purpose, so there's no reason in the world that it should be declared as a tolda. The whole definition of a tolda is a different pu'ula that's done for the same tachlis as the yav. But if you're doing a tolda, ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, a different tachlis, so then by definition it can't be defined as a tolda. Should even be mutam mid rabbanan. The Ram says, should even be mutam mid rabbanan. So he says, no, mid rabbanan they yasid it. So basically, we really follow Rav HaRishonim that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanan, and even according to the Rambam, who holds that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is the Raisa, like the Balamor, but there's so many stiras in the Rambam, so the Achrayim came up, a few Gedolim came up with this idea, that the Rambam has to agree, Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa by Toldus is Vaita only the Rabbanan. So therefore there would be room to be Mekel, let's say to ask a non-Jew to do a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa by Toldus. So if you assume Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanon, Amir L'Nachar is only the Rabbanon, so that would be a Shvus D'Shvus. So Shvus D'Shvus is Aser, but a Shvus D'Shvus B'Maka Mitzvah we assume is Muta. It's really two opinions in Tesis and Gittin Dav Ches on the base. Tesis quotes a Gemara from Erevin, where the Gemara, the way they read the Gemara, it says that Shvus D'Shvus is Muta B'Maka Mila B'Zmana. in order to perform the milah bezmano, so shruus the shruus mutar. To ask a non-Jew to carry the hot, the warm water to bathe the baby prior to the bris milah in a chatzah sheinim urevis. So to carry in a chatzah sheinim urevis is only the rabbanon. To ask a non-Jew is only the rabbanon. So shruus the shruus b'makan milah bezmano is mutar. So Tosis raises the possibility maybe it's only mutar for milah bezmano. Milah bezmano is dechah Shabbos. Machshiri milah not dechah Shabbos. We paskin. There is a Tana Rav Lezer holds Machshir Mila are also Decha Shabbos. So we say Shavuos the Shavuos is Mutar on the Machshir Mila. But by other mitzvahs, how do you know that the Shavuos the Shavuos is Mutar? So these are two opinions in Taisus. The accepted view on the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shavuos the Shavuos is Mutar, but makam any mitzvah. By every mitzvah we say Shavuos the Shavuos is Mutar. why shouldn't we say that every Shavuos the Shavuos should be a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah? The Gemara says you have no right to make a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. Every gzeirah gzeirah is mutar. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rabbi Kiveger and the Pnei Yeshua and the Nesibas, quite a few Achrayim Svasemis, quite a few Achrayim make the following distinction. A gzeirah gzeirah that the Chum have no right to make is if what motivated them to make the second gzeirah is that they're concerned that someone's going to violate an Issa Derabbanan. So that you have no right to make a gzeirah gzeirah. You have to have solid cause to introduce a chumer midrabbanan. You have to be concerned, like a milsad de loshchich goes rabbanan. They're afraid once every 100 years someone's going to do an aver. So therefore they make everybody crazy, they ask for a certain pula. If you're only afraid once in 100 years, you have no right to make exer de rabbanan. Milsad de loshchich goes rabbanan. So the same thing over here, if the whole concern is someone's going to violate a malocha de rabbanan, someone's going to violate an aver de rabbanan. That's not sufficient cause to make exer. But if they made two different gzeiras, they made a din, you're not allowed to carry in a karmel, they made a din, amir liyakam is osir, now we're combining two different things. They ask a goy to carry in a karmel. Each one was nigza because otu a real isa deraisa. So when they combine, that's called a trade derabbanan. Trade derabbanan is not as chomer as a chad derabbanan, but a trade derabbanan is still osir. You don't say that every shluz de shluz, every trade derabbanan is a gzeiral gzeiral. Gzeirah is only if the second Gzeirah, the motivation to introduce the second Gzeirah was because we're concerned that somebody may only violate an Issa Derabbanan. But if each Gzeirah was independently instituted because of a concern, a Chashash Deraisa, they happen to join together, that's called a Trei Derabbanan. That's a Shvuz Deshuz, but that's not a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. There is a difficult Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, a tailor should not walk out in the street with a needle in his lapel. Usually when they're not doing the work, so they put the needle in the lapel, or the secretaries will put a pen or a pencil over their ear. So you shouldn't do that on Erev Shabbos within a half an hour before Shkia, before Ben Hashmashes. You may forget that you have the pen, you may forget that you have the thing, and you walk out on Shabbos and you'll continue to carry it. So it's Gzeirah Derabbanan. So Gemara has a Shaila, what about Bekar Malas Nai? What if he's going to walk with the needle in his lapel or the pen and the pencil in his ear into a Karmelis? Even if he'll carry in the Karmelis be a dime, it'll only be an Issa Derabbanan. So it's a Machlekes Abai V'Rav, and we pass on like Rav that is Mutter because it's a Gzeirah. So Tosfos says, so how come Abai disagrees? Abai didn't know that there's a din of Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. So Tosfos gives a difficult answer. So the Pnei Yeshua and all Achrayim say, no, this is the answer. Abai holds that's not a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. That's a Shvuz de Shvuz. That's a Trei Derabbanan. Not every Trei Derabbanan is a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. It's only a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah if it's what motivated us to make the second Gzeirah was that we're concerned someone's going to violate an Aver Derabbanan. But here, Karmelos was Nigza L'Chud. And Le'etzer Chayt and Machtab is Nigza L'Chud. So they happen to bind together. It's a Trei Derabbanan. It's not a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. So the question is, so how come we pass like Rova? Rova says it is a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. So Taka doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Achrayim come up with. Rabbi Kivegi and the others, they say, apparently we distinguish between the various pu'ulas that are Rosam and the Rabbanan on Shabbos. Some of them we label as malachas and some of them we label as gzeiras. So Rava came up with a chiddush: whenever you have a gzeira u'gzeira, it's not a gzeira l'gzeira. We're not talking about gzeira l'gzeira. Gzeira l'gzeira, you have no right to make a gzeira if what motivated you to make the gzeira was you're afraid someone's going to violate an issa d'rabbanan. That's insufficient cause to make a gzeira. We're talking about a trei d'rabbanan, the shvuz d'shvuz, but both of them are gzeiras. So that's where Rabbi came up with the chiddush. If you have a double gzeira, that's also mutter. So that's a question, how far do you go on that? So Rabbi Kivega has a chiddush. Rabbi Kivega says to carry in a karmelis is only a gzeira. I would have said to carry in a karmelis is a malacha midrabbanan. So you have a rise from the Gemara that it's not so. The carrying a karmelis is a gzeira, it's not a malacha midrabbanan. And then Rabbi Kivega says, what about carrying children? So minatora the din is achay nosei asatzma, midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry children. So Rabbi Kivega suggests it's a difference. Maybe there's a difference between what child it is. If the child is mamish able to walk on his own, he doesn't need me to hold his hand. Then hachaynes hasatzmas mutam in atoira, and with the rabbanon it's only a gzeira. Let's say you have a little child who cannot walk on his own unless I hold his hand. So if I hold his hand, that's ledados. I'll be medada him. So I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. If I have a little baby who can only walk if I hold his hand, otherwise he has to crawl. So when I hold his hand and he walks, that's mutar on Shabbos. But what about to carry him? So that minatoir it's mutar to carry him hachaynes hasatzmo because he can crawl. But midrabbanon. With the Rabbanon, that'll be also. So Rabbi Kivega suggests maybe to carry a child who can only walk if he holds your hand, maybe that's a malocha with the Rabbanon. To carry a child who can walk on his own, maybe that's only a gzeira with the Rabbanon. So he says to carry the second child in a karmelis, that should be a gzeira u gzeira. So double gzeira should be mutar. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that head. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes only, he doesn't tell you where he's quoting. He's quoting verbatim from a Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega. And he quotes the beginning of the Tshuva. Rabbi Kivega explains the difference between a gzeira l'gzeira and a shvus d'shvus. And then he leaves it at that. He doesn't quote the end of Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega makes the distinction between the child who can walk on his own and the other one who cannot. The Gemara has a klal. Gemara has a lot of klal, but we got a dav mincha. Okay. Next time. So.
We're talking around the dead case of the tripod and the
yes.
Fire. That's only going to be considered realm if you know that there's a person who's going to be Mavashla.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we also have Uncle Bishop.
From a short.
Yeah.
Is there a sign in?
Yeah, anyone did not sign in, please. Please sign in on that. If you could just bring me the sheet.
Sounds good.